couldn't help noticing on verse 3, it talks about mid mists and rocks and quicksands. The word of God keeping us out of the dangerous places. I think it was yesterday, the day before, it was reported that a tourist over, I forget which country now, died, got into quicksand on a beach somewhere, had gone on his holidays. Well, it's not something we don't really have over in Ulster, the quicksand. But dangers, and thank God the word of God keeps us from danger. How we need to keep close to this wonderful book and follow its teachings. Let's look at this psalm together, Psalm 147. Let us just look to the Lord briefly in prayer. Father, as we turn to thy precious word now, we thank thee for the word of God. We've been singing hymns that tell us of the great blessing the word of God is to us. And we thank thee that we do have the word of God here in our own language, that we can read it, that we can study it. But, O Lord, we need the Holy Spirit to make it live in our hearts. O may it come today with power to us, we ask, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Well, as I'm sure most of you know, the Olympics continue. And I have no doubt at all that the Lord desires us, as we think about the Olympics, to use the picture that we have in our mind of the Olympics and apply it spiritually to our lives. I have no doubt at all about that. That those news items ought to cause us to think upon spiritual truth. No doubt at all about it, because when you come to the New Testament, you find that there are approximately 50 references from the Apostle Paul that are taken directly out of the games of his day. Because there was the old Olympic Games, the original Olympic Games. There were also other games as well. And he takes many pictures out of that. He brings some of the competitions. He writes about running. He writes about boxing. I remember hearing one man preaching once, and he was a bit humorous. He said, boxing's a cruel sport. I think it ought to be banned, but until it is, I'll watch as many as I can. But Paul talked about boxing. He wrote about wrestling. He wrote about the medal they got, the wreath, the laurel wreath, not a gold medal as they get today. It was a laurel wreath. And he talked about how, when he faced death, that I have finished my course. My race is over. And I'm expecting the award, the crown of righteousness. He also spoke about the possibility of being disqualified. And even this week, there were athletes who were sent home. They were disqualified for breaking the rules. Paul actually wrote about that as well. He took so many illustrations from sports. I was trying to think in the Old Testament. I don't think there's any direct references to such, although I thought of the story of the watchman upon the city wall, and he looked out and he saw two men running. And he turned to the people around and he said, "The one in the lead acts Ahimaaz, because I recognize the style of running." It's a bit like Eric Liddell. Everybody knew it was him because he ran with his head back when he won the gold medal. So Ahimaaz was, they must have seen him running quite often if they said that's his style. That looks like the running of Ahimaaz. It must be him. They couldn't make out the faces at that stage. I suppose weightlifting, you could think of Samson. Put him in the weightlifting, wrestling, Jacob. And of course you have David in the shooting. I read a story of one of the early Olympics. There's a man that was a great shot in the shooting competition with his right hand, and then he had a terrible accident, but he trained so well with his left, he was picked again for the team using his other hand. Well, that's nothing new, because David had men from the tribe of Benjamin who could shoot as well with both hands. So there are people like that in those days. Those are the disciples with their rowing. But anyway, that's enough of the imagination, wondering about competitions, etc. But we have thought, therefore, in the last few weeks about running. We thought about David and his desire, "I will run in the ways of his commandments when thou shalt enlarge my heart." The New Testament, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, "Let us run with patience the race that is set before us." New Tribes mission, many of you are familiar with that mission. The founder of the mission was a man called Paul Fleming. And Paul Fleming, as a young teenager, was a great runner, and he won quite a few cups in school for his running. And he said when he came home, his mother used to say to him, "Son, Paul, that's great. I'm so pleased for you. But Paul, when are you going to start running the Christian race?" He said it used to bug him when his mother used to say that. "Paul, when are you going to start running for the Lord?" Of course, Paul did come to the Lord, and God used him. And today, New Tries Mission, over 3,000 missionaries serving the Lord in various parts of the world because Paul Fleming, as a teenager, came to trust Christ. Oh yes, it's good to be able to run fast and it's good exercise, but he got into the Christian race. And then we thought about that last week, but I want to think about God's word running. Look at our text in verse 17 of Psalm 147. Verse 15. He sendeth forth his commandment upon earth, his word runneth very swiftly. It's talking about this Bible running. Notice it's called his word. You know, we hold in our hands the very word of the living God. 2 Timothy 3:16 is a classic text. Listen, all scripture, not just some of it, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. This is the inspired word of God. Inspiration is a term, you know, the expire, breathe out. It's the word that means the very God breathed words. When you speak, it's your breath coming through your mouth that causes the sound. And Paul is writing, he's just saying, this is the very God-breathed word of the living God. And we believe in what we call the verbal inspiration. You know, those modernists today, and they say, oh yes, the Bible's inspiring when you think of the stories and think of some of Christ's teachings. Oh, but this is wrong here, and this is wrong, and this isn't. No, no, we believe God inspired the very words. It's all true. It's infallible. Plenary inspiration, all of it. All of it. This book is inspired. This book is infallible. This book is inerrant because it's God's book. This book is incorruptible. Therefore, this book is indispensable. We can't do without it. What would we do without a Bible? What hope would we have without a Bible? We wouldn't know anything about salvation without a Bible. We would be lost and hopeless and helpless. His word, I'm thinking of those two terms, his word. And we hold in our hands this morning his word. What a wonderful privilege. It's called the word of God. But then in Colossians 3, it's called the word of Christ. Some people think, well, the words of Christ, you get those in the Gospels. Yes, we get the actual literal words came out of his mouth when he was here upon earth. But the whole Bible is the word of Christ. Colossians 3, all the Bible. And then, of course, we know that God, the Holy Spirit, is the author of the book. No wonder we call it the Holy Bible. Biblos is a term meaning book. So really, the Holy Book is what we call it. The Holy Book. We call it Bible, but we're really using the Greek term there. The Holy Book. It's unique. It's set apart. This book is different than every other book. Because it's his word. But I want you to notice in verse 15, his word, and these are the term I'm after, runneth very swiftly. Runneth very swiftly. The word of God running. Let's think firstly of the picture. Here's the word of God running. You say, well, how can a book run? How can a book run? It can't. Oh, yes, it can. Oh, yes, it can. This book, you see, this book is alive. It's called the living word. It's not a dead book. All other books you get, yes, they're just words upon pages. Oh, yes, they can change things. You think of words that Hitler wrote in Mein Kampf, my dead great influence. Yes, the great influence, sadly, for wrong across Europe. Or Mao Zedong's little red book. When I was a teenager, I used to see students in Belfast holding them up and so on, protesting. And I wasn't with them, by the way, but they were Marxists. And you think of the effects of that book.
There are books that have a great effect upon society, but it's not like this. This book actually lives, because it's His Word. And not only is it alive, it's active. It runs. Martin Luther, the great reformer, he said this about the Word of God. The Bible is alive. It has a mouth. It speaks to me. The Bible has legs. It runs after me. The Bible has hands. It lays hold upon me. I don't know if he was reading this verse or not. This Word of God runs very swiftly. God sends out His commandment, and it runs very swiftly. It ran very swiftly when there was nothing. At the very beginning, there was nothing. There was nothing. And God just spoke. And He said, let there be light, all of a sudden. He said, let there be a firmament. And God, His Word ran very swiftly, and it was created. He said, let there be fowl. And immediately, very swiftly, His Word ran so swiftly that the birds were created, and we could write down the days of creation. Oh, at creation, His Word did run very swiftly. And then I think, one day His Word will run very swiftly at the end of this world, at the great resurrection, at the coming of the Lord. Because we're told, of course, what will happen. The Lord shall descend from heaven with a shout. 1 Thessalonians 4. He'll speak the word. And right throughout this world, in every graveyard, right down to the very depths of the sea where bodies of believers have sunk, to the very dust mixed in with the earth of the remains of believers who have died over the history of this world. Listen, God will command His word, and it will run very swiftly, and that dust will suddenly be gathered together into a new body, like unto His glorious body. I love 1 Corinthians 15:52. If you want to turn to it, or I'll quote it to you, it's certainly a lovely passage about the resurrection when God's word will run very, very swiftly. Very swiftly. 1 Corinthians 15, the great resurrection chapter. That's what you call this chapter by commentators. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 52. I'm proving how the word of God runs very swiftly. Notice what it says, 1 Corinthians 15:52. He tells us how in verse 51, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed. Didn't mean to say this, but we're talking the other night, some of us, the committee, and we're talking to somebody said about, you know, having a place for children. You know how some churches, you know, crash. So somebody said when they're having this place for little babies during the service, the thought of a text of Scripture. And I said, well, that's a good one. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. But anyway, if you've got a baby, you'll know what I'm talking about. But look at how quick the word goes in verse 52. We shall be changed. That's the resurrection. A new body. Listen, in a moment. In the twinkling of an eye at the last trump. In the twinkling of an eye. Notice that term. In the twinkling of an eye. It doesn't say the blink of an eye. That's not what it says. Listen. Don't get mixed up between the wink, the blink, and the twink. Don't get mixed up between the three. They're three different things. The blink, the wink, and the twink. And I'm serious, by the way. It sounds funny. But all three are terms. What's a wink? Well, that's a deliberate, you know, you put your eye in. It can be as long or short as you want. You put your eye, that's a blink. Sorry, that's a wink. A wink, I'm getting mixed up in them now. Something comes and you blink your eyes, that's very quick. But that's not the term that Paul uses. He's not talking about the blink of an eye. I've heard some preachers say, oh, the rapture, and when the Lord comes, we'll be changed, caught up to meet the Lord. It'll be just like winking your eye. No, it won't. That's too slow. You see, a blink's quicker than a wink because it's a reaction, sudden light, and you blink your eye. But a twinkle of an eye is different. What the scientists say is, that is when light comes
and hits the eye and bounces off. It's the speed of light. We can't measure it.
If you want the scientific, and yes, this is, yes, scientific. 983 feet per second. They estimated this way, it's about a billionth of a second. Can you even count a second? Scientists say the speed of that light bouncing off the eye, a light beam, it's like a billionth of a second. Your mind can't take it in, can it? But that's the very term the Holy Spirit led Paul to use way back then when they wouldn't have known anything about the speed of light. God's word runs very swiftly. It ran swiftly at creation. It will run swiftly at the resurrection. Ah, but listen, it still runs swiftly in salvation. Every one of Christ's miracles is a picture of salvation, the physical miracles. You remember the leprous man? What happened? The Lord came to him and immediately he was healed. He came to the blind and immediately the words used. His word ran very swiftly. See, his word ran. Be healed, be cleansed. It ran. What about Lazarus? Come forth. His word ran very swiftly. The widow of Nain's son, his word ran very swiftly. Jairus' daughter, arise, his word ran very swiftly. And each one of those first physical miracles is a picture of salvation, of regeneration. What's regeneration? That means that we're dead in sin. We are dead in trespasses and sins. And immediately, God commands by the power of his word. It's by the word of God that we're made new creatures in Christ. And the Holy Spirit can come and in an instant cause his word to run. That's how it happened when you were saved. It has to be instantaneous. It has to run very swiftly. Because one moment you're dead and sin, the next moment you're alive. You think of a person, you say they're dead or alive. There's not a big long gap in the middle. You're either dead or alive. It's the same spiritually. And thank God the Holy Spirit has power to make his word run very swiftly in the new birth, regeneration. What about justification? Oh, immediately there's a time when we're condemned. We're sinners. The wrath of God is upon us and we're guilty. And yet in a moment, God looks upon us as if we'd never sinned and we're declared righteous. It's the act of a moment. His word runs very swiftly. The moment a sinner believes and trusts in his crucified Lord, his pardon at once he receives, salvation in full through the blood. You're either guilty or not guilty. You're either condemned or pardoned. And that miracle of salvation can be in an instant. In an instant. What about adoption? That's a great doctrine. We're the children of wrath. We're not the children of God. But in a moment. In a moment, in an instant, God can send his word very swiftly and we can become the children of God. What a wonderful, wonderful truth to have that pardon. The vilest offender who truly believes. That moment, God's word runs very swiftly in salvation. That's encouragement. That encourages us in witnessing. That if God chooses to send his word, he can do it swiftly. He can do it swiftly. Supplication. Supplication. You know, it's a wonderful, wonderful truth. There's a verse in the Bible that says, before they call, I will answer. And while they're yet speaking, I will hear. Yeah, I'm amazed at young people with their text messages that just, I've just about got round to sending them, but it takes me ages. And sometimes I get frustrated and say, no, I'll just call the person. But some people go, shh, shh, shh. But this is faster than a text message. Faster than a text message. And it's pretty fast. Because God says, before you even call, I'll answer him. While you're yet speaking, I'll answer. How amazing. We can pray and God can send his word. What about reformation? I was thinking about that. In the Old Testament, Josiah, they found the word of God and there was a great revival. Under King Hezekiah, the work was done suddenly and the nation was revived. In the Protestant Reformation, what happened? The word was set loose. Let me tell you again what Luther, a great quote. When the Reformation was spreading throughout Europe, someone came to Martin Luther and said, oh, you're such a great man. I look forward to meeting you. You're such a wonderful man. You're such a great man. It's so wonderful what you've done. You know what Martin Luther's reply was recorded? Me? Me? I did nothing. The Word did everything. I did nothing. I just let the Word do its work. Satan laughs at our weak efforts, but when we spread the Word, it does the work. That distresses Satan, for the Word is almighty. What was he saying? It's the Word that ran. 1859 revival, what happened in this land? The Word of God ran through townland after townland, village after village, town after town. An interesting thing is it jumped over sometimes. You can trace it, especially Unitarian strongholds. Jumped over them. I can't explain it, God's sovereignty. But God spoke and commanded, and his Word ran very swiftly, the picture. But we're to pray for God's Word to run. You say, well, if God commands it, why do we need to pray? Well, turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. New Testament, 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. You have a great prayer. And Paul is on a missionary journey. He had commenced this church in Thessalonica. Today it's called Salonika in Turkey. And he's writing, and he's on a missionary journey to preach the gospel. And in verse 1 of 2 Thessalonians 3, finally, brethren, or importantly, pray for us. And here's the great apostle who wrote so much scripture, who was used so mightily. And he says, pray for us. Pray for us. If he needs prayer, we need prayer. Reverend Morrow needs prayer as he comes to preach. Joyce Walsh needs prayer as she comes in the children's meetings. What do we pray? We'll pray our text in Psalm 147, verse 15. Pray that God will command his Word, that he will send his Word very swiftly. That's what you need to pray. But look at 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 1. Look at it closely. Pray for us that the Word of the Lord may run. You say, well, hold on. It says, may a free course. Well, if it's a margin Bible, look in the margin. You know what it literally means? May run. I have a margin Bible. In the Greek, it means may run. It's the picture of an athlete running. A free course. It's a good translation, the King James. We're not saying it's wrong, but the idea, free course, nothing stopping it running. That's the idea. But it can also be translated, may run. Paul says, pray for us that as we preach the Word of God, may run. That's the idea he has, that nothing will hinder it, that it will be able to run the race effectively and quickly, speedily. You see, the torch went through, even came here to Newton Arts. It ran throughout the United Kingdom. It ran through London. And people ran with that torch, and they carried the torch. And sometimes there were those that ran beside the one carrying the torch. Paul, as it were, is saying, I'm carrying the torch, the Word of God, like a light. The Bible's called a light. But pray that it'll be effective. See, he knows he's only the messenger. He knows he can't create life. He can't cause salvation. But he can carry the torch, as it were. That's the point. He's the messenger. When he came over in 1 Thessalonians 2 and 13, he said, you received the Word, and it worked effectually in you that believe. It worked effectually. In other words, he brings it. This is tremendous. God is telling us we ought to be praying that the Word of God will run. That's what we ought to pray. There's a good prayer request, that the Word of God will run, that it will have free course, that it will not be hindered in any way, but that the Word of God will run, will run, will move rapidly. You see, God's sovereignty, he has to speak. He has to do the work. The Word of God, we can't create an anxious thought, as often prayed. But the Word of God, but he has ordained that we should pray. You know, it's a great honor when you think of that. Just as those people that carried the torch, what an honor it was for the Olympics. God has given us the honor of praying. Of praying. God has given us the honor of being part of the victory, as it were. Of the Word of God effectually working in people's heart. And so pray for the ministry of the Word here in Grace Church. when I preach, when others preach, in the children's meeting as it commences, in the Sabbath school, in all the meetings, pray that the Word of God would run. That it would run very swiftly. That God would send out His commandments. Pray. Pray for the mission. Pray for the mission that the Word of God will run. Will you pray the rest of this month every day? Will you covenant before God? Well, I'm going to take this command of the Word of God from Paul by the Holy Spirit to pray. To pray for the meetings with Mr. Morrow. And to help that, I've got little cards this morning, little bookmarks. And it simply says on it, please pray for the official opening of the new complex. It has the date. Please pray for the evangelistic meeting Sunday the 2nd to Sunday the 9th of September. And it gives the dates. Evangelist John Morrow. Pray for the children's mission with Joyce Walsh. Brethren, pray for us. The text, 2 Thessalonians 3. I didn't put the rest that it may run, that it may have free course. But pray. Take a few this morning. Give them to your friends. Hope to give them out to neighbouring churches. But give them to you. Take a few with you. Because you can put them around the house where you'll see them. And that'll remind you. Well, they're good bookmarks for your Bible, so when you open your Bible. But put them here or there in the house and you, oh yes, I'll pray for the mission today. Lord, cause your word to run. Cause it to have free course and to run. Well, the picture, the word running, the prayer, we're to pray that it'll run very swiftly. Lastly, the proof. How will we know that the Word of God has run very swiftly? Well, 2 Thessalonians 3 and 1. Look at the rest of verse 1. That the Word of God may have free course, literally run, and be glorified even as it is with you. See, Paul's writing to this congregation. Paul's on a mission. He said, pray that what happened in your life will happen in their life. That's simply what he means. What happened in their life? Turn over very quickly to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 9. There was salvation. Verse 9 of 1 Thessalonians 1. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you. So he came with the gospel. He preached the word. The word of God ran swiftly. Why? How ye turned to God. Ah, there's salvation. The word of God caused them to turn to God. And then you have transformation from idols to serve the living and true God. There was a transformation in their lives. There was that wonderful transformation. I'll just quote these verses. Over in 2 Thessalonians 1 and 3, Paul talked about how they were growing in their love and in their faith. They were growing. That's sanctification. But look at 1 Thessalonians 1 verse 8, if you've still your Bible open there at verse 8. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord. Isn't that amazing? Here was this little group of believers. But they remembered when Paul came, they weren't saved. They didn't believe in Christ. But Paul came, he spoke the word, but God took the word and it ran swiftly into their heart and they were saved. And now they were sanctified. And now they got involved in evangelizing others. It's come full circle. They're now telling out the word. That's how you know the word is running swiftly. When you get a person, when you get an individual, and they don't know the Lord, and the word comes and changes them, and they turn away from sin, and they turn to the Lord, and they're saved, and they serve the Lord, and they have a desire to get the word out to others, you can say, yes, the word has run in that person's life. It's been effective. That it may run even as it is with you. I think of the youth council team over in London. Patrick Baker is now the minister of the church there. Reverend Ferguson is still staying on for a few months, then will be returning to Northern Ireland, reach retirement age. But Patrick comes from the town of Lewes, where there's a small church. Some years ago, a team of young people from our churches went out onto the youth council to do evangelism. They get talking to a tall young lad, he's 6'7" only, and they got talking to him and made friends with him. And it was through the instrumentality of the youth outreach team that Patrick came to trust Christ. Now, they didn't save him. They carried the word, and the word ran effectually into his heart. And I was just thinking, there, it's come full circle. He, these last days of the Olympics, has been out with tracks and open airs and seeking to talk to people. What's he doing now? Evangelizing. There, some years ago, as a teenager, had no thought of God. Didn't go to church. But the word of God ran and sought him out. And it ran very swiftly into his life. What's he doing today? He's giving the word of God out, praying, "Oh Lord, bless this word as it goes forth, that it would run very swiftly." And you probably know the story. It's a wonderful story of C.H. Spurgeon. He was preaching in a large building that held 24,000. And he wanted to try out the acoustics. So during the week he went and he stood on the platform. They're going to have a great special rally. And to try out his voice in the big building, he shouted out, "Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." There were two workmen in the building that he didn't know were there. One of those workmen heard Spurgeon declare that text, and it was the means of bringing him to Christ. What happened? The word of God ran very swiftly out of C.H. Spurgeon's mouth right into what he thought was an empty building. And it ran right the way to that man, right the way into his very innermost being. But the wonderful truth is this. You can't separate Christ, the incarnate word, from the Bible, the inspired word. Christ is called the word of life. This Bible is called the word of life. Christ said, "I am the way, the truth." This Bible is the truth. We talk about the Bible as being bread. The Lord Jesus Christ is the bread of life. You see, the Bible is all about Christ. And we talk about sending forth the word of God. We're talking about sending forth the message of the gospel. Because this Bible is all about Christ. And it's all about his atonement. And so you can't separate the work that Christ has done upon Calvary from the scripture. Because if you don't understand the great atonement that Christ made on the cross, this book is a mystery. You'll not even begin to understand any of its teachings. Because the whole basis of the what we call the inspired word of God is the story of the incarnate word of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. So causing the word of God to run very swiftly is getting the message of Christ to men and women and getting them to turn to him. May God send forth his word. Will you pray that for the mission? That loved ones and friends, that the word of God, the scripture, will run into lives and they'll see Christ who is the word. And that God will command his word to their salvation. May God do it. Let's bow together in prayer. Lord, we've been commanded in scripture to pray that the word of God may have free course. And O God, we pray right now, Lord, send forth your commandment upon the earth. Send it forth upon this section of earth here in Newton Ards. Cause thy word to run very swiftly all the time it's preached, but especially during the coming evangelistic meetings. O Lord, send forth thy word with great power, we ask. Bring people to thee. Uplift Christ. Lord, we recognize that when the word of God runs swiftly, then the Lord Jesus Christ is uplifted. And he's glorified. O Lord, do it, we pray, in our midst. Be with those who must go. Remain with those who remain around thy table. For it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen.